Welcome to the House of Praise, Full Gospel Missionary Baptist Church, with Bishop Dr. Wayne Thomas and Minister Charissia Thomas.
I want you to stand up this time and play it.
Let the church say amen. Amen. I worship you because of who you are. Amen. For the Lord is good.
Amen.
Amen. There is a word from the Lord on today found in the gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Very familiar passage of scripture, the 15th verse through the 20th verse. Let us not allow the familiarity of scripture rob us of the message on today. Because sometimes we can get familiar with scripture and say, well, I know what that means. But then I want to look at the in-depthness of the totality of the scripture today. As a student of the word, I want to unpack the text on today so we can understand it more clearer. Only when we understand what Jesus is saying, and when we do the scripture, that's when it will get clearer to us so we can make it clearer to others. Am I right there?
Amen.
The gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter, and the 15th verse through the 20th. The Bible reads in our hearing, the gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter, and that 15th verse. Amen. The Bible reads in our hearing, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, that means you, thou hast gained thy brother. The 16th verse. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them, that's plural, of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, that Jesus' name, there am I in the midst of them. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of God's most holy and divine word. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for thy people that's gathered in thy storehouse. Thank you for the radio listeners. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, you will open up the passageways to their hearts, to their spiritual ears, that we all hear this word, receive this word, apply this word, that it may be a benefit and blessing to us, but it may please thee. Now, God, all of us confess we have sinned as we get ready to approach the Lord's Supper. We repent of all thy sins, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we pray that you forgive us of all our sins. Thank you for allowing us to partake and prepare thy broken body and shed blood. Father, help us to remember what thee have done for us in giving up thy body and thy shed blood for the remission of all mankind's sins. How we say thank you today. Breathe, Holy Ghost, until we get the understanding of this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
On today, for a little while, as we look at that 18th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, and that 15th verse, all this is in red. Jesus himself is speaking directly to the church. I want us to look at that 15th verse when Jesus says, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone.
Amen.
I simply want to talk about for a little while in your hearing. We have to fix it. Amen.
Amen.
We have to fix it. In life, we all feel a certain type of way about different things. Am I right there?
Amen.
But in this thing called Christianity, if we want it to work, we are going to have to do it how Jesus wants us to do it.
All right.
So that whatever we are doing will bring glory to God and be a blessing to us and others.
All right.
In other words, I said all of that to say this. We have to fix whatever is out of place.
All right.
Am I right there?
All right.
If we want God to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, preacher, that's what you say, what the Bible says. Well, I'm a Bible preacher. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, Paul's writing, that 14th chapter in verse number 40, you know what it says.
Uh-huh.
Let all things be done decently and in order. So whatever we do for God, it must be done with respect, reverence, and decently and in order.
Amen.
And that's why some of us have not reached in God what we are trying to get. Because we praise him, Lady Thomas.
Come on.
We pray to God. We shout. But we feel in some of our hearts contempt for our brothers and our sisters.
All right.
Can I help it right along up in here?
Come on.
Jesus is telling us today, if we want to work what we are doing for God.
Come on.
Yes. We're going to have to fix those things, amen, that are against one another.
All right.
In other words, fix it. Let it go. It's holding you back.
Come on, Bishop.
And it's holding you down from your breakthrough in God. Do I have a witness? Just go to them, that's right, with it, with a mode of respect and learn how to sit down decent and in order with that brother or that sister and fix it. And I promise you, if we learn how to do that in an orderly fashion, Jesus will step in. But the reason why we are gathering in some of these large gatherings and some of these small settings is because we have made up in some of our minds.
All right.
That we are going to fix it the way we want to fix it, and then we want Jesus in it.
Uh-huh.
But the devil is a lie. Jesus is telling us, if we want him in it, amen, we are going to have to learn how to bring him in the right way.
All right.
Because Jesus is telling you and I, he simply will not get in it with us to help us fix it if we don't do it the way Jesus wants us to do it. Look at the text, if you will. Look at the text. In verse 15, look at the text. Amen. The Bible says, moreover, if thy brother or sister shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone.
All right.
Now let me stop right there. Now can I teach a little bit? That word in this context of the text, House of Praise, moreover, it is for y'all young high school or college children or some of y'all adult professors. Moreover is a conjunctive adverb, and that means to add information, to introduce a new related thought or to emphasize a point in these passages of Scripture.
All right.
So in other words, so when Jesus, when he said, moreover, Lady Thomas, in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15, Jesus is telling his disciples and us on how to address conflict, good God Almighty, within the community. I told you now, if you want Jesus in it,
come on,
to help you fix it, in order for him to come in it, we have to do it this way and this why, how Jesus is telling us to do it. Well, let me step out the sermon and let me step in the world for a minute. This is how we want to do it. I'm going to tell her a piece of my mind. She was wrong for that. And I got my gun in my purse, and if she bucked the wrong way, I'm going to pop her. That's the wrong way to handle the situation. Am I right there?
Amen.
Jesus says, watch it if you will. It's a proper approach, Lady Thomas. It's a right and it's a wrong way to handle things. And Jesus is telling us the right way, the right approach. And if we try that outcome or that approach, the outcome, in other words, just might be different. Are y'all with me here?
Come on.
In other words, we cannot approach things for change with a negative approach to change things in a positive way. We're going to have to learn how to do it Jesus' way.
All right.
Because we have to understand, after all, whether ignorant or intelligent,
come on,
these people are still grown people. And we are grown. So we don't want people to talk to us no any kind of way. So if we're trying to help people to influence change, we're going to have to learn how to approach these people in a mold and in a model to gain our brother or sister with respect. Am I right there?
Amen.
And so look at Jesus. Jesus says we have to have the right approach. That's number one. Because we need to learn how to address, and yes, there's a whole lot of conflicts in the community. Yes, it is. But we're going to have to learn how to address the conflicts in the community with the right speech and with the right approach.
Amen.
Am I right there?
All right.
Look at the text. Look at Jesus. Look at the text. Look at the text. So these verses outline, first of all, the process by which disciples demonstrate the great shepherd concern for the stray sheep. Mm-hmm. And the purpose of the process is not to punish Lady Thomas, but to restore the sinful disciple back to the fellowship. Watch it if you will. Look at Jesus, what he says. He says, if you have gone to your brother, right? Uh-huh. And you kept it between thee and him alone, if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. That's verse 15. What is that saying? That's saying that if you approach your brother and your sister in this way, how Jesus is telling us to do it, we might gain them, Lady Thomas, mm-hmm. but we might not. But guess what? We took the right approach, and we did things the way Jesus told us to do things. So who's going to be in God's good graces? Us. The one that chose it to do it the way Jesus told us to do it.
Amen.
Look at the text. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. You see that? The two or three witnesses. Now, here it is. I have to step back into the world. See, I'm trying to show us. I have to step back into the world for a minute. The one that's going to confront someone that done them wrong, if they tried to do it between them and they didn't want to accept responsibility for their action, of their wrongdoing to the one they done wrong. You don't get how we used to do in the world. Well, I'm going with my posse, and if he don't apologize, we're going to all jump on him. No, we don't handle that way. Right?
Amen.
The two or three witnesses are the one that testify that the one that's saying they was done wrong going to confront the one that did them wrong. The two or three witnesses backing them up saying they are right. And they encouraging them within a mode of respect to accept accountability for their wrong actions against the one that they done wrong. That's what Jesus says how to handle it. Mm-hmm. Then he says, and if he shall neglect to hear the two or three witnesses, right?
Uh-huh.
He said, tell it unto the church, the whole body. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man,
yeah,
and a publican. At the final step of the process, the professing disciple refuses to heed the church's call to repentance. Y'all get this in radio land. Mm-hmm. The church must assume that they are not a true believer, and at that point must exclude them from the fellowship. Because you can't be a part of the church that Jesus established and that he owns. He established the church on Peter's confession. He purchased the church with his own body, with his own blood.
All right.
So he's the owner of the church.
I'm a bishop.
We the pastors, the bishops, the evangelists. We are stewards and servants and managers of what he owns. We don't own the church.
Come on.
Jesus owns the church. And if you, my brother, if you, my sister, gonna be a part of what somebody else owns, you got to do it the way they say you got to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's simple. If you join a club, a biker's club, if you join a sorority,
uh-huh,
that's right, and you don't go along with the rules of that club or that sorority, they're going to kick you out. The same thing with the church. Now, the church has more grace than other clubs and sororities because it's not of human hands, but it is divine. It belongs to Jesus. He is the great head of the church. So I don't care what you name the church that you plant or open, but we don't own the church. Jesus owns the church. This is why it's important, it's imperative that we get this text, this message today, because a lot of us that saved got it wrong.
Come on.
We don't own the church.
All right.
Let's get that right. And so when we are pastors, bishops, doctors of theology, whatever we are, whatever our perspective places, we have to understand, we have to have humility, character, integrity, and we have to have respect for all the leaders, as well as the body, because we ought to be glad that Jesus, watch this, didn't choose an angel to preach to all of us, but he chose humans and placed them in a capacity of leadership that we're able to reach one another. Why? Because we understand one another.
Come on.
Because we are humans. We are men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
So we got to have respect for one another. And that's why it's not working in the world, and we're struggling within the church because we're not doing it the way Jesus said doing it. We're making it personal. That's why. Look at the lesson. Look at the lesson. Look at the lesson. Look at it. And so in 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Yes, Lord.
Now, on binding and loosing, the decisions made by the church about what behavior is permissible or unacceptable reflect decisions already made by God in heaven. That's the church's charge. We don't open up a church to become popular.
Come on, Bishop.
We don't open up the church to gain a following.
Mm-hmm.
We don't plant a church or walk in one already planted and in leadership position so people can follow us. We are a good steward, or should be a steward, of the manifold grace that God has already set forth, and the thing that he's already done through Jesus Christ. In other words, we ought to point people to Christ. Because if they're not following Christ properly, they're only going to follow me and you for a little while anyway.
All right.
This is why and how we ought to do things. Now, I'm going to help us here. And this is where I'm going to lose a few of us. But that's all right. 19 says, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Can I help us with a big mistake that the church make on its interpretation of this text? A common but mistaken interpretation holds that these two verses, or these verses, promise that God will do whatever two or more believers ask. Now, this violates the context of the text. Can I help us?
Mm-hmm.
There's a clear connection with the immediately preceding discussion about restoring a sinning disciple in verses 18 and 19. They relate to the restoration and the disciplinary actions of Jesus' disciple on earth, to the decisions of the Father in heaven. In other words, if we in agreement with what God wants, amen, y'all get this, if we in agreement of how God wants things to be done, then we can ask two, that's right, two or three that's gathered together in Jesus' name, then we can ask the Father whatever we will, and then it shall be done. But we have to agree, the two or three that's gathered together, in the things of God. The problem, the reason why you can have 100 gathered and only 10 get the blessings and doing well, is because those 10 hearts and spirits are intertwined together and with the promises of God according to his word.
Yeah, Lord.
And that's why it's working for those 10 and the other 90 barely make it. We have to be in agreement together when we gather for the things of God, not just for what we need. God is not going to bless that if we don't agree with how God wants things to be. Y'all got it now?
Come on.
Watch the text. And so, the word again, at the beginning of verse 19, suggests that this verse restates the principle of verse 18. And it talks about the two or three mentioned in verse 20. Or thus, the two or three witnesses that were first mentioned in verse 16. Christ is present. Here it is. This will help us here. This will free us. Christ is present with his disciples, Lady Thomas, when they gather, good God Almighty, and seek his leadership about troubling behavior among disciples. Then and only then will he answer their prayer for the sinning believers' restoration. This is about restoring a sinning believer that has fallen from the faith and make them accountable. Make them have accountability of their actions.
Yeah.
See, then the two or three that's gathered together in his name, then they can ask, amen, whatever they will, and then the Father in heaven will do it.
You've been listening to the House of Praise, Full Gospel Missionary Baptist Church at 8 Prospect Street in Alexandria, with Dr. Bishop Wayne Thomas and Minister Sharisha Thomas. To correspond with them, 318-730-9788. And tune in next time for the House of Praise, Full Gospel Missionary Baptist Church.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Would you look with me at the Gospel according to St. Luke, Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter number 1. And we will parade and peruse the periphery of verse number 26 through verse number 35. I'm just going to use that as a foundation for my text, but I want to also make reference to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, in which tells a story of how Mary was visited by Gabriel, the angel, and how he said that all things are possible through God. Amen. When he sensed that the doubt that may could have arisen in her life, he